You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Yep, come on in. Like I was telling you a while ago, our next guest, I found out, was in education and outreach. So I thought, well, then we better educate and outreach you all and introduce you to a new member. She's got great background at NOAA Fishery. We're going to learn a little bit about that. But she is now the new sheriff about education and outreach as the coordinator for the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. Andy Vandehei is her name. And this is her, I think, first time on the radio.
Yes, first time.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, this is my second day. Yeah. You get used to it. You know, you're with NOAA Fisheries. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Oregon. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Salem. It's kind of funny for Salem Media.
Yeah, and here we are at Salem Media. Coincidence. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What drew you to the ocean?
You know, I always went with my family to the ocean when I was growing up. And, of course, the Oregon coast is very different from Hawaii.
I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. But love looking at tide pools and just seeing what was there and the power of the ocean. So just thought that would be a great area for me to go in the future. And
now, how old were you at that time? Young kid?
Pretty young.
Yeah. So when it came time to decide where you wanted to go to school and what you wanted to study?
Yeah. Yep. So I went to Oregon State University and studied zoology. Was my first degree. Mm. Then went back later and studied marine resource management.
Aha. Yeah. Okay. And you know that those that listen to our show regularly know that our council is the largest in landmass. I mean in the whole fishery, right? Mm-hmm. And so you've had the opportunity, I guess, to take a look at that. Quite a difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very different, very diverse. I mean, there's definitely, you know, island culture from all different walks of life. People are, that's part of their tradition. You're very close to it. Mm-hmm. You know, on the mainland and places where I were, if unless you're close enough to be driving to the ocean, you're not going to be going necessarily.
Yeah, and you know, here, you in any 5-minute period, you're going to run into the ocean.
Right.
What made you specifically get into NOAA? I mean, was there stuff in college that led you that way?
Yeah, I was interested in formal education, so mm-hmm. I was looking for positions that way. And when I was working with NOAA, I was in their communications group as part of a larger group that had graphics and website design and everyone else. And so my focus was on education outreach, talking to people about, like, you know, the biology of the animals there, looking at the sort of regulations and different things that they wanted the public to know.
What I think is fascinating is that I think you grew into what you're doing in the age that we all grew into, this explosion of technology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, even when you're as a young girl wanting to decide, what am I going to do when I grow up? None of the equipment that we're using today was even around, was it? Aren't we really blessed to be in this generation where we can do things like wpcouncil.org and get all of this information from the radio or from the beach onto the air and onto the internet?
Yeah, it is. There's way more different ways that you can interact with people and sort of get information out than you were able to before. I did a lot of education about careers before and talking about how, you know, try to figure out what you want to do from when you're little and how it's not really a direct pathway from what you think you're going to be doing when you're little to now.
Did you find at that point, was there any big talk about climate change and the big shift? And now we're all looking at things that we weren't 10 years ago. Who would have thought about it? You know,
not as much as now. Yeah, definitely. I think the kids have a more broad understanding of what is going on and, you know, how they, what their part in it is.
You know what? A friend of mine who's a teacher said to me that, you know, it's true because the kids are so smart. They're coming to the classroom now armed with questions that you can't answer.
Yeah.
you didn't learn it in school. You have to go out and learn it on your own somehow. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm so impressed with the ongoing progress that's being made. And you must be too, want to get into this. Some of the things that the energy that's being breathed into the council with regards to outreach and education.
Yeah, actually, I kind of hit the ground running with different projects that were already going. They have a lot of different things. I work under primarily Sylvia Spalding, the communications director. And so a lot of these programs that I'm involved with now, they had already done, and sort of I'm taking over.
Yeah, and I like that because as I was explaining to you before Amy got here, that, you know, Sylvia and I go back a long, long ways, and she's such a great lady. And everybody in the world is overworked and underpaid and stressed out and everything else. And this has been a great addition because I do know that her mission is going to be made more manageable by the fact that your energy is going into this as well. So that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. How long have you been there?
I just started in May, so a little over 2 months.
Yeah, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Is it as you expected?
Yeah, no, it's great. I really love it. The people work really hard. It's a small office environment, and so everyone kind of pitches in where they need to.
I find teachers that get to the website and say, hey, this is a resource. Mm-hmm. There's now more things that you can put in the hands. And I know that some of those are going to be the things that you're involved in, right? Like the annual changing, like the calendars and the tie charts and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. And actually, one of the large projects I took over was the lunar calendars. Mm-hmm. So we have one for Hawaii, two, the classroom version and one that's more particular for fishermen. Mm-hmm. And then there's also one for American Samoa, Guam, and CNMI.
Do you know that the ones that I've had here, everybody gravitates to the ones that are from CNMI, that are foreign,
Foreign
to them.
Ones.
Yeah, because it really looks great, doesn't mm-hmm. it? And it particularly when you put them side to side. But let's talk about the energy that goes into that. Like, for instance, right now, you said that there's going to be an opportunity. Off the air, I was learning from Amy. Some of you all that are practitioners can actually help in a project. That sounds to me pretty exciting because, you know, if you talk about fishermen, and fishers, isn't it great to have their input going into a project rather than after it gets done?
Yeah, so definitely for the
happening?
The 2020 calendars, particularly for Hawaii, we're going to focus on community groups, including classrooms, fishermen, and other people who have used the lunar calendar or that cycle mm-hmm. in some way in the past. Yeah. And we're trying to focus on them and get their stories out with their pictures and let people know how people are using it and sort of give them ideas for how they might do in the future.
One thing that we've learned, and I'm sure you're getting into this, is that what looks like, say, the so-and-so season may be from one bay to the next bay different.
Right.
You know, and then it is. Mm-hmm. So when you take a look at something statewide, the more input you can get, the better.
Yep.
So how do you anticipate this 2020 project will actually involve fishermen?
Yeah, so we actually had some people that I had contacted earlier that are already helping us from different islands who have from Kauai mm-hmm. and some from other places that are providing us their stories. We actually did not get, we're looking for 13 calendar months for the next one, and we're still looking for a couple more. So if anyone has, you know, ideas that they would like to contribute, they can contact us at the website.
Yeah, that would be really good. And by the way, the website, as you know, is wpcouncil.org, not com, .org. It has become a unbelievable source for teachers. I don't know if people really know, Amy, and that's one of the things that you can help me spread the word about. There's a tremendous amount of energy that goes on to not just the projects that the council does, but what can they be turned into that can be put in hands that can go out into the community. Like not just the calendars, but actually workbooks, coloring books, all mm-hmm. kinds. You guys do so much stuff, particularly for kids.
Yeah, there's a whole education section to mm-hmm. our website, and it focuses on, you know, different videos, PowerPoints, lessons, activities that are already on there for students to use.
What I like is, and this is the opportunity that we have, as you know, every time we get a chance, when there's a meeting here or something that we get the stakeholders from other places in, and when you're talking about what you're talking about is, I would imagine that what you're doing here in Hawaii goes out into American Samoa, Guam, CNMI, and places like that, where you actually have to bring stuff to them.
Yeah.
You know, like what sort of projects are going on with that?
Yeah,
outreach to that part of the globe.
Yeah. So we actually have island coordinators in each of those mm-hmm. area, and they are our point of contact to help us with that community and know their specific needs and what they need. So actually, I'm going to be going down in the fall to American Samoa and mm-hmm. the Marianas to meet more specifically
That's
with
very
the
cool,
communities,
isn't it? Yeah.
Figure out what
yeah.
their specific needs yeah. are, yeah. what kind of things that we can bring down.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, it's when they come up here, they bring empty boxes. They do a lot of shopping. Mm-hmm. It's hard for a lot of us to realize yeah. that some of those people just don't. We are so spoiled, right? We can just get in a car and go down to a store and get whatever. Those people, they have to hope and pray that they can get something sent to them next year.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. Their supply is definitely affected by, you know, storms or other things that it's hard to find the things they need.
What interests you most when you found out that this opportunity? First of all, you'd been approached to do something else. What was happening there? What were they originally looking at you to do?
Oh, I had applied for looking for donations, but mm-hmm. I really don't have that background.
Funding,
yeah. And so they were kind of keeping me in mind for the future when another opportunity came up. Yeah, so this one was more kind of in my wheelhouse and I had experience with.
However, those that are charged with the responsibility of getting the money are going to come to you and say, give me the stuff that I need to go out and get the money with, right?
Right.
When you talk about this 2020 lunar calendar, what is, again, going to make it different?
So every year they kind of have a different focus. Mm-hmm. In previous years, they've looked at like the specific stories of Hina, the moon goddess. This year, we're going to, again, focus on more like how people have been using this. It doesn't have to be the calendar itself, but the idea of the lunar cycle and, you know, when to plant and when to fish and when not to fish.
You know, it is amazing, the anecdotal information that's available. And I guess that, you know, because the council is a bottoms-up organization, that some of you all are able to reach out to where you need to get the information from. So somebody wouldn't be afraid of giving you the family secrets. Mm-hmm. Because it's not really, you're not after that, are you?
No, not at all. No.
What are you going to be able to say? You mentioned earlier that we could use some people with actually experience in what areas?
Experience for the calendars?
Yeah.
Just looking for people who have used this sort of lunar idea with cycles and more traditional ways of looking at the cycles in some way.
Yeah, you know, some people drive down the street and they say, gee, look at the beautiful moon. Mm-hmm. And some people look at the street and say, gee, it's time to get Mempachi.
Yeah.
In other words, they can really do that. And I guess it's been so much more available when you incorporate technology. I wonder if is there a way that we can find out how many people are going to the website and hitting on certain things? We got to work on that if it's
I
not.
I believe there is some tracking. Yeah. I haven't looked at it most recently. But
yeah, I think, you know, those of you that haven't tried it should go to wpcouncil.org anyway and just go there on a regular time to visit, because everything that's there, especially some of those reports and things from some of the meetings, you know, some of the things that just went on when we have the big meetings and these catch reports and what's going to happen with them. When you go there, what are some of the things that you are going to be directly involved in online?
So I've been involved with some of the publications that are on there. So, for example, we have a quarterly newsletter, the Pacific Islands Fishery Newsletter, and that gets out different stories that we're interested in sharing, talks about changes with the council family.
By the way, you can go to wpcouncil.org and click on a way to get that delivered, you know, emailed to you. You can find it, and then you get a tickler and a reminder, this is available, that's available. And sometimes that's just a great way to reunite. You know, a lot of us get too busy and say, I haven't gone on that council site for a long time.
Yeah, you can sign up to get our newsletter. It's called Constant Contact, and we send out the meeting notices for the council meetings. We send out other news that might be interesting to people. We invite people to get involved with the advisory panel. That is, you know, our panel of community experts.
By the way, been on some of them, and those of you that are on them right now that are listening to our program, and I know many of you do. What you do is invaluable, and I know that this is for most of us to do it a labor of love. Right? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah.
Nobody's going to get overpaid being an advisory council, but I still think that it just goes to show that maybe people that don't understand about being forthright with information. You talk about input for a calendar and those who've had experience using it. But what about the grandpa that's sitting on the beach that knows the history of that beach going back 30 years and doesn't know who to tell it to?
Yeah, definitely. That's what some of the advisory panels have been encouraging more, is to have there be a front-end connection to get their voices heard for fishermen and be able to, you know, tell their experience and stories and get that into the council decisions.
Have you had any experience yet with somebody that is skeptical or is not quite sure what they want to give up?
Not in my
I
own
see that
opinion.
Happening,
yeah,
you know, at the piers. It does happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they say, well, you know, don't worry, this information is not being used against you. It's being used to help you.
Right, yeah. There is a big emphasis on trying to get more data in general for recreational, for everything, and that will help us to inform management decisions.
What about the ability to get, you know, more young people involved? I think that you are probably, Amy, an exception rather than the rule, because you developed this passion early.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure right now that we have kids with devices that just thumb stuff all day if they're having the same stimulation that we had.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of what we try to go into the classrooms and talk to kids about, you know, what it is that we do. You're familiar with the summer course that
I was going to say, yeah, we've done this year after year after year. I had them in, and these kids that come in, they have no clue why they're coming in, but they leave there with a great idea, you know.
Yeah, I actually had the opportunity to get a little bit involved with the summer. I had heard about the course before.
This is at Mauna Loa, by the way. This is a wonderful class. It's, and I'm just, his name is slipping me right this minute, but he's a teacher there. I'll remember before when we go forward. Eric, I think it's Eric.
Aaron,
yeah. Yoshio, it's unbelievable. We've had the opportunity. We've had him on the program, a couple of these kids. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yeah, no, they're a great group of kids there. You know, they're really excited and interested. And you know, it is a big commitment, but they learn so much.
One of the things that I think you probably can experience, and maybe you've already can share with us, that you mentioned before, you're going on American Samoa and some of these other places. Isn't it really critical to get the young people in those areas up here to go to school? They need some, and you have to get educated somewhere else and then bring it home. That's one of the big missions, isn't it, of the council?
Yeah, actually, they have an education committee that focuses just on that, with this connection with the undergraduate and graduate students in the communities there that want to come up to Hawaii to do. We have a scholarship program, and it's for 2 years for either undergraduate or graduate studies.
And by the way, that's free. And all that you're asking in return, and I learned this from a private company. It was a pharmacy company that was willing to put a child of an employee into pharmacy school, and all they wanted in return was 2 years of
it's
service.
A year for
and
coming
so
back.
I do know that what happens there is that it may be the student's desire initially to get educated, come and do the payback, and then move on. Mm-hmm. But most of them, in fact, get educated, go back there, and it becomes a career.
Yeah, and that's why they're trying to focus on students that have strong ties there already and to educate their own community. So they would want us to come back and stay.
Yeah, and you know that, and some of the meetings that, some of the discussions that we've had with guys in the Long Line Association will tell you that when they spend that money getting quotas and permits, that money is actually going into the boat ramps and the ice factories and the fishery, where they were not able to catch the longline fish, but they could sure use a boat ramp or an ice machine. You know, you haven't had those trips yet, have you?
Not yet.
Yeah, boy, they are really something. In other words, is this a hands-on, learn-as-you-go thing?
Yeah, it's actually a lot of different areas that I haven't been as familiar with. So I haven't worked with radio and newspaper and TV as well.
We're nice. I mean, this is Amy's first go around. And by the way, it's Amy Vandehei, and she is the newest addition to the council. She is the education and outreach coordinator, and comes from an interesting background along the western coastline. In Oregon, which is the only thing similar to Oregon and salt water, is they're both salty.
Yeah.
But they sure are a lot differently.
Very different, yeah.
First time I jumped in the water to go diving there, I couldn't believe how cold it was.
Oh, yeah. You go in the water to get frozen before you come out.
What do family and friends think? Do they know what you're getting into?
They supported. My mom's been in education for all her life, and so I've had that background growing up. Yeah. And all my family love to come to the ocean. They come and visit me in Hawaii, so that's
great. When and by the way, you can listen online easily, theanswerhawaii.com, and we'll certainly let you know when this is going to air, so that your family can tune in and hear you breaking new ground. But I also think that what might be interesting is how you want people to contact you. If people are out there saying, hey, I heard this, I heard you on the radio, I don't know what you're doing, but I think I got something that might help, how can we do that?
Yeah, so on the website, you can find a way. There's an email on there that comes to me, and we can respond to those directly.
And the same thing holds true to the show, that you can do that whenever you want to as well. Okay, so in addition to some of the things that are coming on when you talk about going to the far reaches, what about here? I do know that right here now, there's a lot of studies being done about runoff and about where does the DLNR leave and where does the council come in as far as working with the environmental concerns. Like, what can you share with us so far, your working knowledge with Marlo Saboteur, for instance, and what the work that he's doing?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was familiar with working with federal agency before, and of course their jurisdiction is different than mm-hmm. what it is for DLNR.
Yeah.
But they work very closely together because, of course, there's no borders.
I was going to say the fish is not really sure they don't know. Whose quadrant he's
right,
in, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So, yeah, so they definitely have to work together and coordinate their efforts.
However, there's most people out there think that the only fish that the council is concerned about are the pelagics. And it's quite the opposite, particularly in places what you're talking about, in Samoa and Fiji and mm-hmm. and Sanamai and Guam, where they jump in the water to catch dinner that night on the way home from the office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little bit different than us. What are the other things that so far you've been able to identify as things that you want to follow up on?
Well, for some things that I haven't been too involved with yet was more about the going into classrooms for mm-hmm. So part of that education committee I was talking about where the scholarship committees, they've had a new focus for going to K-12 communities.
Yeah.
So they want to reach even lower and get even earlier into so they can follow the kids all the way up through.
Well, one thing that I do know is true because I got a lot of teachers in the family, and some of them already rely on materials that they can get from the council, mm-hmm. from that you're happy to have disseminated into the classrooms. But there's also suggested topics and a speaker bureau and things that we need to get the word out about that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the speakers bureau, we're going to be working a little bit more on that to mm-hmm. update it. And I think that's a great resource because people from all different walks of life and different topics that can come into classrooms, talk to about specific things. If anyone's working on like a student project, they need a mentor or something like that.
And there's so much available. And what it makes is it makes for more engagement. I mean, I've had some experience on another show that I do with robotics mm-hmm. and these kids that get into that. I see the same thing happen with ocean projects, mm-hmm. especially reef cleanups and things. So let's talk about what parents can learn if they go to if they want to help their kids and go get involved, if they go to the website, what can they go look for that'll give them direction?
Yeah, definitely that same portion with the educational resources there's a lot of things that parents can go in there and get information for kids. There's some coloring sheets. There's, some basic lesson plans that they could do. There's different activities, videos especially that can
and that's
help them
the big deal. Now mm-hmm. the videos and the way they are delivered. Look, gang, I often mention on the program, WPCouncil.org. Not only can you hear some of the previous shows that we do, but you can trickle through and look at stuff that goes way, way back. And I think that when you realize how many decisions are being made by the federal government on what comes out of Hawaii, they rely on the council mm-hmm. on all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So where would we be without the people down the ladder a couple of rungs trying to swim upstream?
Yeah.
What about membership and other things like that? Do we envision some sort of club formation or something where people can achieve things like in scouting? I know that at one point there were some people looking at, hey, how can we get the community more engaged in what the council is to explain who we are?
Yeah, no, that's kind of partly of the advisory panels that mm-hmm. there's the different ones in Hawaii and the other three territories as well that they kind of see themselves as the face of the interface with mm-hmm. the community, and that idea that they're just community members themselves, and so they're trying to encourage people to become involved that way and have their own initiatives and give recommendations.
It's kind of an exciting time, isn't it? Because mm-hmm. we're able to make technology work with us as well.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the 2020 calendar, you also have other projects I do know that are done on an annual basis. What else is coming up, in publications right now that you're working on?
So I'm actually working on their 2018 annual report, mm-hmm. and that's kind of a status of the fisheries. It has some, hard numbers of this is how many, fishermen trips there were,
right.
This is how many pounds caught.
We're talking about effort, all the things that people learn, how to interpret. I mean, there's a lot of information in there.
Yeah, and it gives you a comparison between years, so it's going to look at the previous year mm-hmm. and see what's the changes, up or down, same, different.
I'm amazed at the way that information is gathered. It's not just in the shore talking to somebody what they've caught in their bucket. That the state does all the time. But in actual reporting, people have to report their catches. Mm-hmm. More and more people are worried about, is there going to be recreational licensing? I know that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that's going to happen at the Fishers Forum, at some of the meetings that we have at the council.
Yeah, the Fishers Forum are a part of the council meetings that we have. So that's the sort of forum where we, you know, have in the evening. It's a different time frame for people to be able to come and learn about different topics.
You know, I've emceed lots and lots of them over the years, and I'm pleasantly surprised at the people that will. They're usually from 6 to 9. There's a little food. There's a little panel. There's a little bit of discussion. People are getting more and more willing to exchange. Do you notice that? Well,
yeah,
you're
definitely.
Just getting into it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you were told before one of the biggest problems with some of the work that the council needed to do was getting cooperation from the fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were times that it was them and us adversarial relations. It doesn't seem that way anymore.
I think it is improving, and people are really seeing the difference where when they do provide that information, it allows us to not have such sort of cone of uncertainty with the fisheries. So it allows us to be better estimators of how much fish there are.
I also think that maybe when you start taking a look at it island by island, bay by bay, you know, coast by coast, that the cooperation and the management of the resource, we're relying more and more on somebody from that area rather than somebody coming in from Oahu to make a decision on what's happening on Maui.
Well, you know, the fishermen are out there all the time and they're very familiar with certain areas.
Sure.
And, you know, the ocean is huge. You can't be there everywhere at all the times.
Yeah.
And so the more data points that you have is better.
You know, when on your circuitous route to get where you are now, there must have been some of the things that were aha moments for you, like that you are now willing to, you know, impart to somebody else. For instance, you know, everybody thinks, oh, sharks are bad.
Yeah.
And we're looking at a story that's in the paper this week that we did earlier on this show, and that was the finning of these sharks. That must be the topic of conversation at your office today. But what a terrible thing that is.
Yeah, you know, people kind of misunderstand sharks. They're, you know, definitely an important part of the ecosystem.
I should say.
And they, you know, a lot of them are pretty tiny. You know, reef sharks are not as big as the crazy ones that we see on the movies. And so it's just unrealistic.
Well, by the way, there was one in the paper, and Amy and I are recording this on Thursday that you're hearing on Saturday and Sunday. But there is one that showed this 3.5-foot shark with a fin missing. I mean, you just think, gee, aren't we past that? I guess the answer is no. So there's another thing. As it is sometimes difficult to glean information out of a fisherman, sometimes a fisherman doesn't like to pick up the phone and call when they see something else happening. They really should be doing that, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and that, by the way, you can also learn from the DLNR and from the council where to see those complaints come. What's your biggest challenge? Where are you putting most of your energy? And oops, outside of the phone ring, right in the middle of the recording. What do you look for as something where you'd like to personally grow in this?
You know, I'd like to be more familiar with the territory cultures, and you know, what are the specific challenges that are in American Samoa, Guam, and Sinamai. And I've been there. I was able to go to the Marianas once before, and you're right; it is a very different environment from here. So, kind of understanding that it would be valuable for me.
Yeah, and you know, we have a number of groups, and I know that you're meeting some of the guys from all the different agencies, guys like Roy Morioka and some of the bottom fishing guys and some of these other things that come and give up countless time and energy. I hope that there's going to be a way for you to, when you're doing your outreach, the outreach with the website, showing people where they can get additional information or, more importantly, when they can volunteer or come in and share what they know.
Yeah, we're going to look for ways to improve our website. And actually, we are going to be coming out with a new and improved website later this year.
Yeah, give us a couple of hints.
It'll look very different. It'll be more user-friendly. Yeah. It's very colorful. You know, there's going to be a great search function, so you can find the things that you want on there. But yeah, we'll have some sections on how to get involved. And
yeah, you know, it's now we Google everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you also have to end up on a site or at a source that's credible and believable, and not just, you can't just say, well, it must be true because I saw it on the internet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it depends on your source. Yeah. So hopefully people see us as a reliable source.
So look, here's what I want you to take away of meeting Amy Vandehei this morning or this afternoon, or depending on when you're listening, is there are people now that really want to talk to you. There always have been. But right now, I think the council has had a real decision-making process that we really need to get more out there, because not only are we misunderstood, but the fishery is misunderstood by many.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's always better to have, you know, people that are actually involved in the process be the ones that are talking to others about it.
And that's where we're going to leave our first meeting with Amy. We'll see more and more of you and I'm sure all of our listeners want to wish you good luck in what you do, because what you do is a big job. Yeah, I mean, you are a busy lady, I bet.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Amy. We'll see you
thank
again.
Thank you.
And remember, if you want to hear something on the program, you know what to do. Drop me a line, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. Themikebuckshow@gmail.com. And if you want to get in touch with Amy or anybody at the council, go to wpcouncil.org. Wpcouncil.org, okay? So for the rest of your weekend, tight lines, following seas, big bites, sharp hooks. Congratulations, all of you that finished the HIBT tournament. We'll talk about that next week with the founder of it. And we thank you for listening. See you again next time. Aloha.